exercise on Saturday, and so there's a motion to accept those, basically to open up a public comment on the results of that exercise. And you can see the specifics. I won't take time to read it or anything. At the end of the public comment period, then the council is going to do a review, again consulting with stakeholder groups, et cetera, in terms of the process and the value and what we do with it, et cetera. All this is a motion to open up a public comment period on the results of the prioritization exercise that was completed. Is there any objection to Edmund and Caroline and I supporting that motion to open up the public comment period on those ratings? Seeing none, I will go right on.
Chuck, could I interrupt one moment?
Sure.
Your helpful message says please refer to the following URL.
And I didn't give you the URL.
That's right.
Okay. I'll do that. Okay. I had sent it to the list, you know, a week or so ago, but I will fix that. In just a second, I'll send it to, well, I'll send it right now. Okay. It's coming, just 1 second. That's what I get for trying to double task, right? Okay. Okay, I just sent that. So in a moment, you should be able to click on that. It's not a, by the way, that particular link is one that is probably nice for you to bookmark if you, because we use that site for agendas and for motions. You can link to both there for every meeting, so it's a handy URL to have. Okay, the next item then, after the prioritization, and I can get it in front of me here. There we go. Is the affirmation of commences drafting team, which we've already covered. So we'll skip right by that. Who is studies? There will not be a motion. We'll be initiating the process to decide what who is studies. And again, I refer you to the link that's on that agenda, to Liz Gaster's summary of what the different WHO is studies that are on the table. I won't talk about that now, but in the next few weeks, we're going to have to, as a group, come up with something in terms of what we want, unless you want the three of us as counselors to just support whatever the rest of the council wants to do in terms of studies. So please spend some time on that. Anybody have any questions on that WHO is studies issue? Okay, going on then to GNSO improvements. There's a motion there to approve the recommendations of the Communications and Coordination Work Team for GNSO improvements. The biggest bulk of that, of those recommendations, are the GNSO website improvements. There's going to be a slight little amendment that Alan Greenberg's going to make to that. It's insignificant in terms of the fact that just making clear that the statement of work for that is not a trying to predetermine outcomes. Any problem with us supporting the CCT recommendations? Steve Holston was our representative on that work team, and they had pretty much finished most of their work when Steve left, so he's obviously not here to speak, but you've had access to that report for a long time. All of us know how desperately the website needs to be improved, and the other part of their recommendation has to do with some recommendations regarding communications between SOs and ACs and so forth. You're welcome to look at that. Any opposition to us supporting that motion? Okay. Going on then, there will be some reports for working groups. I don't think we need to spend any time on that unless somebody wants to. I'll jump right on to other business. The CCNSO, as most of you are probably aware, has come to the GNSO, Chris, to me in particular, the CCNSO requesting that the GNSO and CCNSO form a joint community working group, not restricted to RSOs in any ways. In fact, it doesn't have to be restricted to people in the ICANN community, to draft a charter for a working group, a joint community DNS cert working group, and so we don't have a formal motion on this tomorrow. What we have is I'm just going to ask if there's anybody objecting to us forming this charter drafting group with the CCNSO and doing that, and already. Which shows pretty good support, I think, for at least working on a draft charter. The volunteers so far for the drafting team, it's going to be a big drafting team, I think. Terry Davis, Rafiq Damek, Greg Aaron, and Kathy Kleiman from the registries, and Keith Drasik from the registries, Mike Rodenbaugh, Zahid Jamil, and Rodney Jaffe have all put their names forward, and I will actually mention those in the council meeting tomorrow, and I'll open it up if there's others. So and again, all I'm going to do is add any objection on the council to, you know, this drafting team being formed and getting started working with the CCNSO. Is there any objection in part of this group? Seeing none. So we also have a motion on enhancing the transparency of the GNSO council meetings. Now, there's a possibility this might be deferred to the next meeting. This is one put forward by Bill Drake, and it's basically a motion for the council to ask that council meetings have live audio of that, not interactive participation, but live audio. Liz was trying, because we talked about this in our planning leadership planning meeting on the council last week. They thought maybe they could pull together some estimated cost information on this before the meeting tomorrow, and they were unable to, because what they found is there are several different kinds of ways this can happen, and they need a little bit more time. So she's requested that it be deferred to the next meeting. Obviously, we could vote on the motion without having that cost information. I communicated that, you know, I think it would be kind of nice to know a little bit more of the implications of the decision before we voted on the motion. But it's possible that Bill would want to keep his motion on the table. So if it remains, and it has been seconded by Olga, if the motion goes forward, is there any problem with us supporting the motion, which just says we should do this? Now, obviously, costs could be worked out later. What are the wishes of the group? Jeff?
As you probably know, I wholly support that motion to open up the meetings for at least for live audio, whatever it's called, yes.
Yeah, and I do too. I have no problem with that at all. I'm not sure anybody on the council does. The question is should we support the motion without having any cost information, or should we wait until the 15th to do that? Go ahead.
No, I would say support it, and then, you know, you can always, if the cost is incredibly high, you can always address that at the next council meeting, but at least showing that we want this to go through is, I think, good.
Anybody opposed to that position? Okay. I think the three of us have our marching orders. And, David, I think that takes care of the council agenda. There will be an open mic. That's especially for Jeff. Okay. Not really, of course. But
dedicated, Mike.
But yeah. No, I didn't say dedicated. But there will be an open mic, and I'm going to really do my best to manage the meeting so that there's time for that at the end. We have a very full agenda, and we're going to try to throw in a break there. If it gets too tight, we may have a very short break or just let counselors go out on there as they can. So thank you very much, David.
Oh, thank you. Did we cover prioritization? You got that. Okay, I'm sorry. That brings us then to the steering committee reports. Jeff?
Okay. The steering committee, as you probably remember, is divided into two sub-teams, the working group work team and the policy development process work team. The working group work team has completed its final report and has submitted that to the policy process steering committee. And the steering committee met on Saturday. And it's... our goal is to make sure that it gets forwarded to the council, but we have to kind of discuss the report and make sure that all the appropriate steps were taken by the work team. And I'm looking at Caroline. I don't see any concerns that we have as a stakeholder group with that. There are a couple. It's an interesting question because there's a couple of people on the policy process steering committee. Well, at least one. Business constituency member that believes that the steering committee has the right or should have the right to go into all the recommendations and change them as they see fit. I don't have that view. I'm the chair of the group, and I don't have that view, but I don't sense that other people do. I think we don't want to reopen all of these issues. That's not really – it just creates another level of bureaucracy. Well, I'll let Caroline speak.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting point. I mean, if you remember, Chuck had a number of comments to the paper, and, I got some of them through the working group, and those that were deemed to be substantive issues, Marika staff had actually commented that those should be forwarded to the steering committee and they should deal with them. So there was maybe some level of expectation within the working group that, those issues would be discussed. I don't know, opening up recommendations and, how deep that would go, but... certainly that was mentioned by staff.
Yeah, part of our role is to make sure that the comments were addressed. So we look at the report, look at the comments that were received, and make sure that the working group addressed them in some way, either adopted it, didn't adopt it, provided a rationale for not adopting it, which is a lot different than what some people want to basically go into every recommendation and start over, essentially. And I think that's a dangerous precedent. And not something we should, as a steering committee, it certainly shouldn't be something the council would do at the next level up. And I'm not sure it's so much of an issue with the working group work team because there weren't that many comments, and so we could easily address those. But you can imagine with the policy development process work team and the 150 pages that are in that report, if people were to open those up, it's really, we should be encouraging participation at the development level as opposed to at the managing level, or in this case, levels. Chuck?
Yeah, and you heard Philip make this comment in the session the other day. He took over the chair of the OSC from me when I became council chair. And I think that the process that the OSC followed is very consistent with what you're saying. There were some cases with some of the reports that we sent it back to the work team for a little more work. In cases where it was a fairly trivial change, rather than going through that process, we did go ahead and make the changes. But if there was any doubt at all, we checked with the chair to make sure they agreed that there was no significant change in terms of what we were making. And if there was, we asked for the working team input. So I think that's consistent with what you're talking about there, Jeff.
Okay, and then the policy process work team released its initial report. It's, like I said, it's about 150 pages, but the first 20 or so are a list of the recommendations. And so if you're going to read any part, which I think everyone here should, really concentrate and focus on the recommendations, because these are the rules we're all going to live by. These are the rules that are going to be how our contracts are amended by consensus policy. So if you don't like any of them, please definitely read them, let us know, make comments. The comments are due in July, but I have already set the groundwork to extend that deadline because of, one, how large the report is, but two, there are so many comment periods that are coming up due at that point in time that it just, you know, people, we obviously can't comment on everything. So my guess is we're going to extend that one until August or through August at least. Again, please read that. That's really, you know, I think we should devote some time on future schedules to, or future meetings to discuss some of the substance in there as again, it affects everything on how a consensus policy is made, and we all have to agree to it. And I know I understand some of it's tedious. Some of the stuff is going to be changes to the bylaws. Some of it is going to be incorporated into the rules of procedure of the GNSF Council, and some others may just be guidelines or best practices. So there's all types, and really important for this group to read and analyze. David's on the group, and as the chair of the group, it's not really my job to advocate any position one way or the other. So if we have strong comments or any comments, David's the one that will be communicating that to the policy process work team.
So what is our plan for submitting comments on that? I think it's better that we map out a plan. Otherwise, we're going to get to the deadline, even if it's extended, and we have nothing.
Well, it depends on getting your views on the recommendations, as Jeff said. At this point, I have not seen anything that outside of what Jeff mentioned that really is a showstopper, but I'd certainly encourage everyone to read those recommendations at least very quickly, and if you see something that jumps out at you, by all means let us know. Jeff?
Yeah, I mean, there's a number of elements in the report that so maybe why don't we schedule at the next meeting a little block of time so I can go through, at least point out which ones of the issues everyone should focus on that would really affect us.
Oh, that would be very helpful because it is a very long, complex report. Speaking of which, we now turn to the Operations Steering Committee. Chuck?
Sure. Well, we're getting really close. And is Ray not here? I guess he's not.
I think he left.
Okay. Ray, of course, is the chair of the GCOT, the GNSO Council Operations Procedures Work Team, and they're getting pretty close to being finished. In fact, the OSC has approved all of their recommendations except three paragraphs, I think, that are waiting for some additional information. So there will be that may be a motion I missed there, that we will be approving the recommendations for incorporation into the GNSO operating procedures document. So if there's any concerns about that, please express them. Otherwise, and I think they've been gone through pretty thoroughly by the working team, first of all, a little back and forth with the working team and the OSC, and then I think we're at a stage now where they're ready to go. And I say approving them, that's not actually true, opening up a public comment period so that the whole community has a chance to comment on them before the council actually acts, okay? And for the same thing applies to the first task of the constituency and operations stakeholder group work team. Their recommendations for operating procedures for all constituencies and stakeholder groups, including us, are also been submitted to the OSC. The OSC has okayed those. There's a motion to approve those as... open those for a public comment period at the same time as the ones from the GCOT. So if there's no opposition, the three of us as counselors will support opening up that public comment period for any additional input. And the CCT we already talked about.
Okay, thank you. That brings us to PEDNR, post-expiration domain name recovery. Michael?
Where we stand with that, David, is it's not posted for public comment yet, the report that's out, but it's available on the PEDNR wiki. So if people want to take a look at it and get their comments, if they have any thoughts or comments, I am drafting a consolidated comments document from our group. And I should probably have that out in the next week or so.
Thank you. Greg, do you want to talk about the registration of use?
Hi, Greg Aaron. The working group delivered its final report to the council on Sunday, and the next steps are for the council to take up the recommendations, and we talked a little bit about relative priorities. And then it'll probably take council and a couple of meetings, Chuck said, to get through those. So the ones at the top of the list are a look at the a review of the UDRP and recommendation that we have some a non-binding best practices working group to help registries and registrars work through malicious conduct issues. And then the third one would be some who is access and compliance issues that were identified in the report, and some suggestions that some compliance reporting be done, for example.
Okay. Any questions on that? Oh, go ahead.
So, Chuck, what's the next steps with that report with the council?
Good question. Like I told the group earlier in the week, it's probably going to take us several meetings to work through this because there's quite a few different recommendations, several that had unanimous support of the working group, some that had mixed support, and some kind of almost evenly split. So the first thing we're going to do is to start talking about, okay, how shall we attack these now? What does that mean? I don't know yet. I mean, will we decide to maybe form a little drafting team to come back with us to with some sort of a procedure for tackling these? It probably a natural way to go would be to look at the unanimous recommendations first. Obviously, it's a workload issue, too. How much do we add on to our plate in the case where it might be initiating a PDP, like, for example, with the UDRP or developing those best practices? Adding another working group at this very moment in time might not be the wisest thing to do, but that's what we've got to talk about and develop a plan for implementing these. We don't plan to put these on the table and just ignore them, okay?
So just to follow up, I could tell you I've had a number of discussions with the intellectual property community and the INTA and the World Intellectual Property Organization, and they are scared to death of anything being done with the UDRP. So they are consistently coming out offering excuses as why it should be delayed. Now is not the right time. I had a couple discussions with some of them and said, now you know how we feel, right? When we want to delay something that affects the registries and registrars, you guys are the first ones to jump on and say it needs to be done now. But now that there's something that potentially affects the IP owners, you guys are employing some of the same tactics we've done for years. The conversation, I do think the UDRP needs some sort of review. I mean, it's 10 years. There are some issues. There are some things that dispute providers are doing that need some sort of explanation. I think that dispute providers need contracts with ICANN. I think this whole Lucy, whatever they have, accreditation with ICANN is just not enough. And I think it is time that we start really taking a close look at that. They're going to fight it. Their argument now is that it should wait until after new TLDs are launched, because then you can really see what the needs are, if the URS works or if any of the other mechanisms work, and to evaluate those at the same time. I have some sympathy for that, but what I've said to them is I think the only way for a lot of us to take you seriously is if you say, yes, the UDRP needs to be reviewed, but asking whether it could be delayed for a year or so till after new TLD is launched. I think that would show some sort of good faith. But the approach they're taking is it should be delayed without ever coming out and saying it should be done.
After the excellent .mobi event last night, thank you, Caroline, I had a nice chat with David Taylor from the intellectual property constituency. And first of all, we kind of talked about the fact that with the VI working group, one of the mistakes that was pointed out was that the board picked an extreme position rather than a kind of a middle position on the 2% or 0%. And so we were talking about the fact that, you know, the starting position should be kind of, and I mentioned this, I said, the starting position for a UDRP review should be the existing UDRP, not any other position. And then you look at, okay, how can we improve it? Very much like we've done with the registrar transfer policy that Barbara is working on, and hopefully she's still on the line. And has been working on for a long time and will be probably a long time into the future. But I think I think one of their biggest fears is that, you know, we're going to start from scratch. This is a review in the way I view it. And Greg, I don't think you guys saw it any different than that either, did you?
No, actually you described the recommendation exactly, which was let's not try to loop in all the other procedures that have been proposed. We rejected discussion of that actually in a separate recommendation. Just look at what we have now because we know we're going to have it for a long time. The UDRP still has to exist even if URS is working alongside it. So let's see what we've got. Let's see where we've been. See what works. Maybe what didn't. That's all.
And anything else then on that? Then Barbara, are you still on the line on the transfer policy?
I am still here.
Oh, thank you. Go ahead.
So basically, I've gone ahead and I've distributed the initial report of the IRTP Part B PDP, and as you all know, this is the second of five PDPs relating to the inter-registrar transfer policy. So just to give you a quick summary of the five issues that are addressed in this PDP, the first one is whether a process for urgent return or resolution of a domain name should be developed as discussed within the SSAC hijacking report. The second item is whether additional provisions on undoing inappropriate transfers are needed, especially with regard to disputes between a registrant and admin contact. The policy is clear that registrants can overrule the admin contact, but how this is implemented is currently at the discretion of the registrars. The third item is whether special provisions are needed for a change of registrant near a change of registrar. The policy doesn't currently deal with a change of registrant, which often figures into hijacking cases. The fourth one is whether standards or practices should be implemented regarding use of registrar lock status when it may or may not be used and should or should not be applied. And then finally, the last item is whether and if so, how best to clarify denial reason number 7. And that denial reason is a domain name was already in lock status, provided that the registrar provides a readily accessible and reasonable means for the registered name holder to remove the lock status. So basically, I've completed my review of the initial report and have begun drafting the comments on it. I would recommend that everyone read the initial report so that when I send out the comments that you'll have, you know, some context by which to evaluate and add any additional information that you may want to have addressed in those comments. There's also a session tomorrow afternoon from 4 to 5:30 relating to the topic. And so, you know, to the extent that you're available, I would encourage anyone to attend that because that should give you some additional context surrounding the deliberations of the working group, as well as, you know, kind of where we're going with the initial report. Generally, I do believe that the registry stakeholder group can be supportive of the preliminary conclusions and recommendations. I do expect that there are going to be a lot of comments relating to the proposed expedited transfer return policy or the ETRP, which is being recommended. That is actually in response to the first issue that I mentioned. basically, I'll finish writing up my comments and have them to the stakeholder group before the end of the week. And as I previously mentioned, we expect that the initial report will be posted for comments on or around July 5th. So to the extent that we can have a block of time dedicated to taking a look at the draft comments that I send around later this week at our next constituency meeting, I would appreciate that.
Okay, thank you. Any comments or questions to Barbara?
I have one, David. This is Chuck. Barbara, how many years have you been working on the transfer policy review for us?
Oh, goodness. I'm going to guess it's been about two and a half to three.
Yeah, so, and they've got a ways to go. Thanks, Barbara.
You're welcome. We're averaging about a year for each issue review or PDP. So.
Thanks for the good work.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay, the next item on the agenda is Who Is Studies, but we've covered that, I believe. Next is the joint SSAC-GNSO Working Group on IDN registration data. Edmund, do you have anything to say about that?
Well, the working group is has identified a number of models to move forward. I think the we have biweekly meetings. The few models are I can quickly talk a little bit about it. One of which is to have at least a an ASCII version as a for like that being a required version of Who Is going forward. The second model is that we would not require that in any and so contact information could be internationalized fully, but the registrar information needs to at least one the registrar information needs to have a ASCII English version so that there would be a point of contact. A third model that was discussed was potentially providing transliteration service by requiring transliteration service by registrars. And there was a fourth model that was introduced where you can sort of like the second model with any language for any local language in the contact information, but that there would need to be a backwards compatible version that is provided by the registrar. So these are some of the possibilities. We also, of course, talked about the different elements, how it's being each element could be should be internationalized and based on what type of standards.
Thank you. Any comments on that or questions for Edmund? If not, we can move. The next item is the joint ALAC-GNSO drafting team registrant rights and the RAA amendment. This leads us to the meeting we're going to have at the end of the day with the registrars. One of the things that they are very anxious to talk about and a matter of great concern to them is the way the ALAC is pushing a process that would allow the entire stakeholder group of ICANN to amend the registry agreement. Obviously, the registrars are not happy about that. To amend the registrar accreditation agreement. They're interested in our process of dealing with ICANN, which resulted in the change in the unilateral amendment proposal. I'm not sure that the registrars are in the same position to call a meeting and negotiate with ICANN, mainly because ALEC is so much involved in this, but at least they want to talk about it. Does anyone have any comments or thoughts on this?
Well, David, it seems to me that it would be that's an idea that could be talked about this afternoon. You're right, it's probably harder for them to do that, but that might be an approach that could work. Now, they need to understand it's not going to be just like with us. It wasn't just us and ICANN. It was open to others, so I think they would need to accept that there would be members outside of the registrar's group that would participate in that, but that might be a better way forward than kind of what's being proposed right now. There's some really extreme positions. You know, some people want to be at the negotiating table, and that's a terrible precedent and very impractical, too.
Yeah, I agree. Well, one of the things that I want to do, we're getting a little closer now to go ahead.
I don't want to comment on the drafting team per se, but on the RAA amendment issues and the whole team that's meeting on that. Yesterday there was a meeting from 5 to 7 with law enforcement and what they want registrars to do. And so I just want to raise it as an issue that we should be watching, because I found a lot of very interesting issues raised during that meeting and concerning issues. And a real sense that something that Jeff said earlier, if law enforcement doesn't get what they want from the registrars, they're going to come to us. And so just putting up a flag to you know, you might want to keep an eye on some of these issues. They're very interesting.
Okay, thanks.
And David, this is Chuck again, before we leave that topic, do we have any representatives on either one of those sub-teams of the RAA working group?
Not to my knowledge.
Boy, it sure would be good if we could get some volunteers there. I think it's time for us to step up in that regard. Is there anybody that would be willing to help out there?
Don't all speak at once. Well, perhaps we can.
Why don't you put a call out on the list and give you a chance to take
a look. And perhaps we can talk about that this afternoon with the registrars, see if more interest develops. The final item is the joint SOAC working group on new GTLD applicant support. Anyone have any comments on that? This is probably the best time to get started talking about our agenda with the board of directors of the ICANN board, who will be joining us in about 20 minutes. In theory, it says 12 on the agenda. It'll probably be closer to 12:30, but my recollection is that people wander in, so we probably ought to get started and get a better idea of what we're going to say. If you have the agenda, you'll see the list of key topics. This was developed in part by Bruce Tonkin and Rita Roden, whom we asked to suggest things of interest to the board. And number one is vertical integration. So here we are back again.
David, it's Chuck again. Yep. Could I interrupt a second?
Sure.
Could we maybe first, just in case they come earlier, decide how we're going to handle the logistics, because we're going to we don't know how many are coming, do we?
No, as usual, we don't.
Yeah, so, but I'm guessing.
But in the past, we've had a pretty good turnout.
Yeah, so we're going to handle the logistics. One thing I would suggest is that that priority be given to members, including observer members, official observer members, as a starting point.
Well, it's a closed session. It's anyone who is not a member of the group or an observer is.
But an observer member is a member of our group,
yes,
a non-voting member.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Other observers, we would have to ask to leave, right?
That's correct.
That may help a little bit in space, but. That's it, Eric. You're just trash. No, we have a process for observer membership, like the gentleman to your left, the Dot Berlin folks, have joined as an observer member. Okay?
I see. Okay.
So it's not that you're trash, even though I said that, okay?
Well, as far as logistics are concerned, Craig very kindly arranged to have some more chairs brought in, which won't really solve the problem. I was thinking of perhaps putting chairs here in the middle, but with these panels, it'd be rather awkward. If anyone has any bright ideas, I don't think we can move furniture very easily.
More interior tables like that? Would they be able to bring in something like that?
Craig?
I was just going to suggest if there is any way to bring in some more of those interior tables, like the projector is sitting on there.
I can certainly ask.
There's also another way to do it. You can put chairs on the other side.
No, but they're panels. See these panels? Yeah.
Well, I will, as usual, will make do when people come in. What we need first are suggestions as to how to approach the vertical integration. I suppose one thing that jumps to my mind is that we simply ask Rod and Peter to give their views on the subject. Do we want to...
Let me caution against that. Just in my experiences in the council dinner meeting and the infamous private meeting, they really don't want to be put on the spot for their views. And another thing, I'd love to see us get interaction from more than just Peter and Rod.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah. What if we were to ask, open it up for the board members who are present to ask any questions of us that they have? Would that be an approach?
Sounds good to me.
So maybe a suggestion to move around a topic. If we start the meeting out with some praise on... the good thing, maybe that'll open them up and feel more comfortable. Whereas, you know, if you all remember the last meeting we had, it did not get off to a great start. So if we maybe want to move that up on the chart as far as the post-delegation and unilateral amendment. Okay.
So are you proposing swapping 1 and 2?
Yeah.
On our agenda?
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's a very good idea. The order of this list came from Bruce and Rita, as I mentioned, but it's not set in concrete. I can certainly I can introduce it, and I'll say my position as chair have arbitrarily decided to start out with some kind words.
And following Jeff's lead, let's thank Rita and Bruce for giving us some input.
Yeah, good idea.
So I can give the thanks, since I'm usually the one who gives the gives the other side. So
okay.
If I could make a request to do that.
The next item is the confusingly similar issues on new GTLD names, and I'm not. It's not clear to me exactly why this wound up being number 3. Does anyone
I can't speak to this, Chuck, again. I can't speak to why it's number three, but as an approach on this, I think this is probably more one where we want a brief explanation provided by us and then see if there's any questions. And I would think if he's willing that Edmund would be a good one in this regard. Is that something you'd be willing to do, a two-minute or three-minute explanation of that?
Sorry, I was distracted a little bit. Of which
we're talking about the confusingly similar strings, and remember the motion that with regard to extended evaluation and so forth, that issue.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay, I'll call on you, Edmund, then when that comes up. The next item is simply other feedback on DAG version 4. Again, I can ask for comments of the some of the directors in the room if they wish to say something, or does anyone have any other proposals on
Again, I would suggest that we ask them if they have any questions that they would like to hear from the registrars in that regard. I think they're going to be reticent, based on what I've seen this week, to stake out positions.
Okay, yeah, questions. So. You're correct, right.
I mean, I think an approach we could do is to ask them not about the substance, but, you know, what are the issues that they believe are still outstanding that the community needs to come together to resolve, and what are they looking for us and by when. Keep it at that kind of high level, that might be a good thing, since they have a retreat in September, and I'm assuming they're going to want to hear from all of us as a community on those issues before they decide them.
Okay, then the next item is the budget, feedback on the operating plan and budget. Any thoughts on how to handle that?
As I think all of you know, I submitted some possible comments on the budget for our consideration. Unless there's one or two areas that really stand out. I mean, like, for example, I could also start out and just say, you know, we've come a long ways in the budget. The details much improved, but there's still some room for improvement there in terms of some of the detail. Like, for example, an easy example is for the Who Is studies that the GNSO is working with. I had to ask to find out what amount of funds was in there for that. Now, I got an answer. They were responsive. But a little more detail on some of those things that are particularly important would be helpful. In some cases, they provided a very good level of detail, certainly sufficient. And I'm not talking about micromanagement of their budget, but I could approach it that way and then see if they have any questions of it. Are there other areas of the budget that somebody wants to comment on?
Ken Stubbs has stepped out, but I'm sure he's coming back, and I'd be willing to bet at least a dollar that he will have some comments.
I think... one of the things, and I have not read the budget in much detail, but one of the things I keep hearing at this meeting is the compliance budget's been cut by 33%. So it's only 66% of what it should be. Maybe that's just for this current year or not even for next year, but I've heard that on several occasions. And so I want to kind of ask them if that's the case. And, we keep hearing about the shortfall that they have for this year. And maybe get the board's views on that, especially with compliance coming up.
I'll check that. I thought there was a little bit of increase in compliance, but I'll check and get back.
And it may just be for what's left of this year, I guess what's left of this year doesn't matter. It's July. What I heard compliance told the business constituency, or it was maybe the IPC, was that they asked the direct question of David Giza, do you have the resources you need to be able to do compliance? And the answer they got back was, my budget was cut by a third. And maybe, Kathy, I don't know if you know more about this, but this is something I've heard, and it was actually repeated by someone at the vertical integration meeting. So,
okay, that's interesting, because if you look at Table 4-7 in the budget, there it looks like there's a 7.7% increase. Now, maybe it's all in the detail, which was kind of the general comment that I had, but that may be another example of an area where more detail would really help us. Because if you look at the very high level, the top level for compliance in Table 4-7, it's a 7.7% increase. I saw Craig raise his hand there. Yeah, well, I remember seeing an increase. That's why I said that. And certainly we don't want to come across like we haven't done our homework. Maybe we could kind of follow the lead that I create in terms of it would be nice to see the detail underneath that increase, because maybe that doesn't help the GNSO at all. I don't know.
Right. All I can say is the conversations I've had with the people that were at that meeting and talking directly to David Giza, and he's the one who said we don't have the resources we need.
And I think you already know without me saying this, but let's be careful about not putting a staff member in a bad situation with their team. But without naming names, we can refer to some, you know, it generally, I think would be better.
Or just ask the same question. Just say, we know that with new GTLDs launching, do you believe that this budget amount, along with what you already have, is enough to do a full compliance of the issues that we're asking? It's more open-ended, and maybe they'll give us a different answer.
Sounds good. Any other thoughts on that? Okay, the next...
Sorry, can I just ask a quick question?
David. Go ahead.
When you say compliance, or do you mean, are you talking about compliance relating to vertical integration as well? With budgetary concerns around that or not?
Well, I think that's kind of what it's got turned into a little bit by some of the people that I've been talking to in the IPC, the BC, that I guess that's how the context that came up, you know, are you going to be able to do this compliance? And the response was, you know, I don't think so. You know, I don't know if their public response at the, you know, in front of everyone would be, of course we do. But what they said was that the words they used that I, and again, it's only hearsay, the words they used were that they only have 66% of, or maybe that was for this year, they were only allowed to use 66% of what was budgeted. Mm. I mean, we have what's budgeted, but that doesn't necessarily mean that later on management doesn't cut it or move the funds to a different area.
Yeah, one board member yesterday made the comment at this private meeting that never assume that it couldn't be done, you know, that resources wouldn't be there, money wouldn't be there for, and we were talking about compliance at the time, so...
Jeff, I think your question is fairly good. I think what we should do, though, is I worry about that open-ended of a question simply because you can turn around and say you give a very pat answer to a question like that if it's very open-ended. I'd rather add kind of a two-step to it and ask, you know, first of all, what do you think the major goals of compliance are? And do you think those goals are adequate? What do you think it takes to fund those goals?
Yeah, I think that's. I think that's right. You know what? We have a fire alarm, I guess. Again. You know, another way to think about it, Chuck. Maybe this is because you always pay more attention to these, and you and Ken. And there's Ken. Do we ever find out what they actually spend at the end of the year on which items and how they? You know, we see the budget at the beginning of the year; it gets approved. At the end of the year, we kind of get some summaries, but do we ever really find out whether they've diverted money from some account to another, you know, For example, did they have to divert funds from one thing in order to build the Palo Alto office, or you know, did we ever find out at the end of the year how the money's actually used, broken down in that detail?
It's probably not as clear as it should be. Obviously, they have an audit done, but that takes quite a while before that's done and so forth. And then in the subsequent budgets, there will be the actual expenses usually reported. But I think that's kind of a nice recommendation to make, because what you're suggesting there is very valuable. And a clearer way of presenting that kind of information after the end of the year, but not waiting till full audits are done, which takes quite a while, would probably be a constructive suggestion to make. Now, a general principle that I'd like to suggest here that we used in the GNSO council dinner with the board the other night, we really tried to make the meeting valuable for the board members. The reality of the matter is, and I think we all know this now because I've shared it before, there's a trend to want to do away with these kind of meetings and maybe combine them into all. So the more valuable, in other words, if we focus on the needs of the board in this meeting, it'll help us. We were pleasantly successful on Sunday night in that meeting. I didn't share this in this group, but Peter got up and he said, you know, I had canceled this meeting for Brussels, but, and I had talked to Rita, and Rita did a good job, and she lobbied a little bit, and he left it on. He said he found this session really valuable. But what we intentionally did, and counselors were very helpful at cooperating in this regard, of really focusing on the board and their needs and what they need to know, the information they wanted. So in everything we do, to the extent that we can tailor it that way, I'm not saying, you know, not communicate things that we need to communicate, but do it in a way that helps them, I think will increase our chances of being able to do this in the future.
Good. I think that's a good idea. The next item on the agenda then is DNS cert and the SSR.
Our agenda or the board?
This is the board's agenda. This is what came from Rita and Bruce. We may not get there. We're getting down to the bottom. Should I start out by asking if they have questions? Yeah, Carrie, go ahead.
Was this raised prior to Vixie setting his BOF this afternoon, or was it raised in aware of the fact that Paul Vixie regards the DNS cert as his initiative? And although his attention to it wavered, ICANN raising the subject has brought his attention back to it. And this is his issue, not theirs.
This obviously long preceded what Paul proposed.
So we might be able to make short shrift to this point, just noting the fact that Paul Vixie is here and he intends to become quite active in moving this forward.
It's a little...
Yeah. Could I remind you to use the mic?
There will be a birds of a feather session, yeah. But there's a number of initiatives going on that ICANN has started, continued, perpetuated. I mean, there's a lot of material up for public comment. And so I think the issue is very much on the ICANN table.
Let me add something there. Again, I think the Paul Vixie thing is kind of a side issue that's going on. I'm not minimizing it, but keep in mind we already talked about the fact that in the council tomorrow, the registries are going to support a motion to form a community-wide working group, and we could do as simple as if we get to this as saying, you know, we support a community-wide working group. We think this is going in a better direction now where the community is going to be involved. And, you know, we will have participants in Paul's BOF tonight, too. You know, something as simple as that. And try to avoid a lot of the controversy, because I think it is moving in a more constructive direction, an industry-driven sort of direction.
The purpose of Paul's BOF is to create a community-wide initiative. So, again, what ultimately is going to end up happening probably is the same thing, but the question is whether ICANN is now going to channel its attention via the industry on that side, via the normative side of it, or keep it on ours. And I wonder if we ought not to have a very clear idea ourselves of what the appropriate way of doing that is.
In the next 2 minutes?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Won't be here in 2 minutes.
Go ahead.
Hi, this is Craig. One of the key questions that ICANN has to figure out is what is ICANN's participation in the DNS cert, because the DNS cert inevitably involves parties outside of ICANN and the larger internet community to some degree. So there's always going to be the question of what is ICANN's involvement, and that's perhaps what this particular community has to figure out. Paul's going to also try to figure out what happens outside of the ICANN community, I think, which is how do bodies outside of ICANN or participate and what their role is. So I think our community certainly needs to focus on what ICANN's particular involvement is.
And for anyone who doesn't know, I was amazed. I went to the DNS cert workshop that was held in Washington in April, and that was an invitation-only workshop. I was amazed at how much pressure is being put on ICANN from parties that are not part of ICANN, that are not traditional participants, that are certainly not contracted parties. But basically, the pressure on ICANN, as I understood it, was to solve every kind of major internet security problem. And it's just enormous scope that people are calling on ICANN. So we were trying to, you know, respond that ICANN has a scope and mission, and it should work within that and do that job well. But there is a lot of pressure coming on ICANN.
Okay. The last item on the list, then, is affirmation of commitment. Well, actually, the next to the last, affirmation of the commitments, and followed by anything the board might want to bring up. My guess is we won't get that far, but that's the end of the list. Any further thoughts on it?
So, did they explain what they meant when they put affirmation of commitments on? That's kind of a broad topic. I mean, what are we going to say? Or are we going to just say, you put this on the agenda?
Well, I can ask the board if they have questions for us. Give me a moment, and I'll try to find the email.
Well, and also this may be a place where we want to. Several people were commenting. Ken did, I think, on the importance of having enough GNSO representation. This is not a bad place to make that point.
Mm. That's a good point.
Strange idea. Let me throw it out. I understand that in the GNSO council meetings, they have different tables talking about different issues. Mm-hmm. Would we want to have different areas of the room, at least over lunch, talking about different issues?
No.
Okay.
Thank you.
Unfortunately, logistically, that would be really hard in here. It worked really well for us. I tell you, I was a little worried. I didn't know if it would work, but it did work for us. But unfortunately, this room wouldn't facilitate that very well. We had that. Some of you may have been in the panoramic room last night with the BC reception, and we had that room, so it worked great to have tables spread out and far enough apart and so forth.
I found the email I got from Bruce. Views the board could be interested in views on how the review process for the affirmation of commitments and security, et cetera, is being managed. I know the GNSO would like to see four reps on the Who Is Review, for example. It may be worth raising this. So that is a topic.
So with the first, can we go back to the first with vertical integration? How do we want to address that with the board? What do we want to say? Chuck, maybe since you had a discussion with them yesterday, with the council, do you have a recommended approach of how we approach that subject?
Well, like I suggested earlier, I think giving them the opportunity to ask our members what their concerns are, if there's something that they would like to know about that topic. I mean, Rita's a classic example in that one table in the dinner meeting Sunday. When I went over to that table, she says, "Wow, she didn't understand a lot of the issues, and it was really helpful to have a couple people who are on the working group do that." And so I guess I go back to what I suggested earlier, have them, what would you like, is there some issues with regard to that? Do you understand the issues, or we would really like to be responsive to your thing? Not trying to duplicate what the working group is doing, but rather, let's see, what would they like to know about it from our perspective as different registries? And David could even preface that with, we're not all on the same page on this, but if you would like to, are there some questions you would like to ask us about this issue that might help you as you confront it once you get something from the working group? I don't know, Jeff, if that answers your question or not. Again, keep in mind that they feel very, very strongly that they should not be developing this policy. It's a GNSO issue. So I discourage us from trying to ask them what they think we should do. They don't want that, and they're just going to say, "That's in." And Peter will especially say this. He'll say, "That's in your court, not ours. That's not our job." So try and avoid directing it that way, but rather, what about this issue would you like to better understand that maybe some of us can give you our individual perspective, something like that.
Craig, is lunch being set up outside, or?
Yeah, lunch is actually set up in room 310, which is at the very end of the hallway. So, well, I mean,
maximum inconvenience. That's
well, you can make your lunch and bring it back in here. It's not that far.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Let's make sure now.
That's right.
Eric already took the trash out. He informed me. So. So David, do we have any in the room still at this moment that have not joined as observers officially? We probably ought to determine that before the board gets here. And we apologize for having to be restrictive on this, but we're really limited on space. So, and we have specific procedures for joining as observers that several potential registries have followed, and they're welcome. We would love to welcome the rest of you, but we don't have space. So. Our meeting after meeting with the board at a